Welcome to the Legacy Nashville Podcast. We are so grateful that you've taken the time out of your day or night to tune in. We pray that this message encourages you to love God, love people, and change the world. Now, let's get to the message.
Turn in your Bible to Exodus chapter 33. We're going to read an infamous chapter of the Bible, and I felt like that what Pastor Brian was sensing from the Holy Spirit was a part of the message that God wanted to give us this morning. I hope you came expectant for a message from God this morning. Each and every time we open up the Bible, the scripture, a message from God can be received. Amen? So what we've decided to do in this season is not really another sermon series. What we've decided to do is to share some words of the house. All right? If you're wondering, what does that mean? Well, there have been some sermons that I've shared over the last 7 years that have really marked our church family in a significant way. Now, when I gave them, I did not know that they would mark our church family in a significant way at all. This word was one of those words. I shared it, I don't know, 6 years ago, 5 years ago, I can't remember, at a team night on a Wednesday night over at 900 Gallatin. So it is a leadership message. All right, everybody say it's for leaders. I want you to remember that because I gave it with the intent of it being received by the leaders of our house. I never planned on sharing it to a congregation on a Sunday morning, but since you guys are all a part of the launch team, you are a leader. Everybody say again, say, I am. A leader. Tell your neighbor, say, it's for leaders. It's for leaders. So what we're going to be doing over the next 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks, I don't know. It's not really a sermon series, but we're just going to be playing the hits like Stapleton. All right, did you find a photo? Oh, Luke has a photo. Okay, we're going to be playing the hits. So what we're going to do is share some of the more significant messages that God has released to our house, to our church family, over the last 7 years. So this is one of them, all right? Exodus chapter 33. We're going to read verse 7 through 11. Maybe not what you thought we would read. I'm sure you expected us to go to that portion where... Y'all like that? That's it right there. That's my Stapleton fit. What is that like? What's that sparkly thing? Is that the microphone? Oh, the microphone was wrapped in tinsel. Yeah, I just wanted to clarify, I am not wearing a feathered boa. All right? Because that Stapleton would not wear that. So that was it. Maybe one day we'll publish it to YouTube. If you don't mind, just stand with me for the reading of the word. I know you guys are up and down a lot, little Holy Spirit calisthenics today. You don't have to go to the gym tonight. Exodus chapter 33, verse 7 through 11. Read it with me. Now, Moses used to take the tent and pitch it outside of the camp, far off from the camp. You see, Moses needed a little alone time, a little me time. And he called it the tent of meeting. Everybody say the tent. Notice it's not just a tent. This is not some ordinary tent. No, this is the tent of meeting. And everyone who sought the Lord would go out to the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. Whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people would, they'd do what? And each would stand at his tent door and watch Moses until he had gone into the tent. Now, when Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses. Now, I don't know about you, but this is how I want my devotional moments to be with God. Verse 10. And when all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, all the people would, they do what? And they do what? Each at his tent door. Thus, the Lord used to speak to Moses as a man. Whew, that's good. When Moses turned again into the camp, his assistant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. The title of the message that I have for you today is Get to the Tent. Get to the Tent. This is the only sermon we've ever made merch after. Seriously, we may have to bring it back. Get to the tent. Lord, we thank you for the tent. We thank you for access to the tent. We know it's not been by our merit that we have access to the holy place, but it's by your blood. You paid for it with your very blood, God, and we give you praise for that blood today. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. The first verse that I want to point out is verse 11. First part of that verse says, thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face. Anybody in the room today, you want to speak to God face to face? How many of you, the very thought of speaking to God face to face is terrifying? Same. Same. When I first got saved, no one really taught me how to read the Bible. I mean, I grew up as a PK. You'd think I'd learn, but I'd gone to Sunday school. I never really knew how to study the Bible because I was away from God during a majority of my late teenage formative years. And when I got saved in my early 20s, I started reading the Bible chronologically. So I started in Genesis and just began to work my way through the whole thing. Somebody should have told me you start in the book of John. You know, like you don't start in Genesis, you start with John the Beloved and you learn about Jesus. But I just started in Genesis and I read all the way to Exodus 33, this chapter right here. And I was so gripped with a desire, with a hunger, and with a conviction that I could see God face to face. Now, I don't know if you've ever read this and thought that, but I did know enough about the Bible that it's divided by Old and New Testaments. And I know that Old Testament is an old covenant. And if Moses, a man living under an inferior covenant, saw God face to face, there was no way that myself, a man living under the New Covenant, could not receive a superior blessing now that I'm under a superior covenant. So if Moses could see you God face to face, then what is it that I could see in my life face to face? I want to see you, God. I want to see you. I want to see you. I want to see you. This became my motto. This became my prayer request. Every night I would go up to my bedroom and pace around my bed and I would ask the Lord, I want to see you. 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 I'd read Exodus 33 and tell him, I want to see you. I want to see you. I want to see you. And I would say it so many times that the faith in my spirit would rise to a point where I actually thought that he was going to rip the roof off my house and step into that bedroom. Now that terrified me, and so I turned the bathroom light on, I turned the TV on, I turned the music on, I turned the fan on. I did everything that I could to make myself feel like I wasn't about to die as a result of an encounter. Anybody ever been there before? But this passage has really just possessed me. You know, I remember being in a worship service one time, and we it was in Austin, Texas, and the meeting was over. And most people had left, but the people who stayed were just, they were just going after God. And it wasn't a lot of people. It was a big sanctuary. And I remember walking around and I was just praying. And I said, God, I want to see the glory like Moses saw the glory. You know, when you work yourself up into that fervor where you just, anybody pray like that? See, y'all don't pray like that? Forgive me, I'm weird, you know. God, I want to see the glory like Moses saw the glory. And God said, no, you don't. I argued, yes, I do. And he said, no. If I gave you what I gave him, you wouldn't be satisfied with it. He said, there's more available for you now. There's more available for you now than there ever was under the old covenant. I said, oh, well, God, I want that. I want to see you. I want to see you. I want to talk to you in the same way that a man talks to his friend. Anybody else want a relationship with God like that? I want to talk to you, God, in the same way that a man talks to his friend. And I believe that this is something that all of us should be provoked by when we read this passage of Scripture, that this kind of relationship with God is available for us because of what Jesus accomplished for us on the cross. I don't know if that's mind-blowing to you today, but to have the privilege of having intimacy, fellowship, not just communication, communion with your Creator, the Creator of the universe, is that not mind-boggling to you? Like, knowing that we have access to that. So I read this and I'm like, I want that, God. I want that. I want those kind of encounters, because I don't know about you, but I can trace back every single spiritual shift in my life to an encounter somewhere in an altar on the carpet covered in tears and snot. Anybody else in here? Like, I can trace back every single time there was like a big prophetic pivot in my life to a tent. There was a moment where God crashed in. There was a moment where the Holy Spirit touched me. There was a moment where I was moved by the power of the Spirit and I surrendered all the more and I received an encounter from the Lord and I spoke with God in the same way that a man speaks with his friend. Those are the moments that are significant in our life. We're going to remember those moments on our deathbed, and I have to believe that we're going to be talking about those moments in eternity, because they are eternal moments that happened in the present. It's bringing heaven to earth. It's those moments where we're able to meet with God that way. And I don't know about you, but every single moment I've had like that has always led to transformation in my life. Anybody else? It's like staying power. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's the thing that you remember. It's the thing you want to talk about. It's the thing that makes you emotional. Yeah, I can give you a Bible study and not shed a tear, but if I talk to you about an encounter, I'm going to be moved in my soul. I'm going to be moved to such a place that you're going to become hungry for encounters simply because I'm telling you that I've seen them. And I think that's what the world needs. They need more than a Bible study. We are going to give them Bible studies. Don't get it twisted. But more than just simply a study, an introductory lesson to the scriptures, I'm going to tell you, I know the person who authored the scriptures. On a first name basis, like I talk to him like I talk to my friends. I have seen him face to face, and as a result, I am different. This scripture should prophesy to us about the possibilities of this lifestyle that we have been saved for. That what we see is not all there is, that there is more available for us. Even as Christians, that common question that comes up in our heart, is this all there is? There is more, but it's in him. It's in nothing else but him. It's only Jesus, and it's only ever going to be Jesus. The only place where your soul will be satisfied is in friendship with God. I want you to know that. I think you guys agree. I think you guys believe this. If you don't know this and you don't believe this, let me let you know there is an invitation from God, address heaven, with your name on it. Postage paid for. The cross. I want you to see here that a face-to-face encounter with God is connected to friendship with God. If we in here today say, I want a face-to-face encounter with God, well, you must have friendship with God. I'm not saying it doesn't happen spontaneously or by accident. Sure, God can do what he wants when he wants. But I believe that the consistent face-to-face encounters that God has reserved for his friends are for people he talks with often enough to confess, he is my friend. My friend. I remember teaching at a youth camp one time, and I don't know, I was just so undone, and probably because I was single. I was crying out to God for a wife. And all the single people in here, you know what I'm talking about, right? I remember praying, Lord, I don't even care what she looks like, Lord. I just need somebody, God. I've been there, yeah. I've been crying out to God. I said, Lord, I said, I just want to cry on your shoulder. That's what I told him. I just want to cry on your shoulder. And he said, who's going to give me their shoulder to cry on? The relationship is more than just him meeting all of our needs and answering all of our questions and delivering us out of all of our problems. What about who we are for him? Friendship with God. This type of relationship has got to become the passionate endeavor of anybody who would be a kingdom leader. Anybody who wants to be a world changer. Anybody who wants to be a history maker. Anybody who wants to shake nations. Anybody who wants to live a lifestyle that hell is fearful of. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about living a life of significance in the spirit. Are y'all hearing me this afternoon? Is this too much for a Sunday? But this is what I dream of. And if we're going to be world changers, if we're going to have kingdom impact, if the world is going to be different because of our surrender, then there can be no toleration of frayed connections. World changers press on into friendship with God. I know what's on the mind of God today because I spoke to him this morning. I know what's happening in his heart because I speak to him in an ongoing, consistent way. He is my friend. He's in my favorites list. He's top on the speed dial. I don't call everybody else in the phone book before I talk to him in prayer. He's first. He gets the first fruits of my day before I linger on social media for 2 hours and then pray for 10 minutes and complain that I don't have enough time to do devos. He's first. He's first on the list. You, my friend. Oh, man. That was too much, wasn't it? I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have said that, huh? Somebody said, ouch. Yeah, if you can't say amen, just say ouch. Kingdom leaders, they love God, and they understand everything I am able to accomplish is the result of my complete dependency upon him. Not by might, not by strength, but by God's spirit. Listen, I'm testifying to you today as much as I'm preaching to you. There ain't no way we would have got to where we are as a church without anything other than dependency. I just ain't smart enough. Don't laugh, but just, I'm telling you the truth. I don't have my secret weapon is dependency upon God. When I don't know what to do, I just lay myself at the altar and I cry out to God and I say, I'm gonna die if you don't show up. Anybody else, you also have that same secret power? It's like, we probably all got it. You know, we just don't want to tell nobody because, you know, the truth is we can't do nothing on our own. We are where we are because we had an encounter with Jesus, our Savior. That's the only reason why you've made it here today is because he breathed the breath of life into your lungs. That's the only way that you could make it. And so why wouldn't you be dependent on him? I love reminding people, hey, the same state in which you were saved is the same state in which you are called to live, and that's surrendered. You didn't get saved because you figured God out. I don't know where you got saved. I don't know how you got saved. I don't know what you're doing when you got saved, but I do know that you got saved while surrendered. Because there ain't no other way to get saved, because salvation is not a work of the flesh. It's all his work. You said, I give up. I'm tired of running away from love. And then 6 months later, what happens? We turn the surrender switch off because we learn how to be professional Christians. No, the same state in which you are saved is the same state in which you are called to live. And when we click the surrender switch off, we do exactly what Pastor Brian was talking about today, is that we go ahead and we paint our high watermark in God on the wall. You're not going to go any deeper in God without surrender. You're not going to go any further without surrender. If you're trying to figure out, why do I keep hitting my head against the ceiling in the spirit? I'm not growing in my relationship with God. The question you must ask yourself today is, am I surrendered? Is my yes louder than my no? Is the switch turned off, or is it actually a no? Or do I have to argue with God every time he gives me a command? Right? Did God create us, or are we creating him? Over time, it's like the role reverses, right? It's like instead of us being more transformed into his image, he starts becoming transformed into ours. And he likes all the people we like. He doesn't like the people we don't like. He hates the political party that we hate. He's always on our side. Are you with me, church? It's important that we are before his face. Hunger can be supernaturally imparted, but most often it is stewarded as the result of intentional exposure to his face and his presence. If you want to be hungrier, eat more. It's the opposite of what we do in the flesh. In the spirit, if you want to be hungrier, you eat more. You see somebody who's hungry in the spirit, you know they eat. They eat in the spirit. It's not somebody who's, you know, just distant and withdrawn away from God. Oftentimes, it's the people who are the closest to him that are the hungriest. I've tasted and I've seen and I need more because Social media ain't going to cut it. Entertainment ain't going to cut it. Addiction ain't going to cut it. Sex ain't going to cut it. I'm sorry to say, ain't nothing that this world has to offer that's going to measure up to what God's given me through Christ Jesus and the Spirit. I'm hungry. I need more. You with me? Hungry people don't have manners. They don't. That's why they mess up services. And I'm not talking about being weird. I'm just simply saying it's like offending you. It's like, yo, it don't take all that. Why are they doing that? They ain't got to dance like that. They don't have to worship like that. Don't they know they can't sing on key? We're in Nashville. A joyful noise does not need to be auto-tuned. Tell you right now. He didn't even say it had to be a song. He just said a noise. So if you stand over here and you hear me sounding like a goat that's been wounded, it's joyful. Ah, you know, that's it. This is something Moses understood. He understood this. He understood that unless you show up, God, I've got nothing. You've tasked me to lead a nation. And unless you show up, God, I've got nothing. This is why Moses built himself a tent. Because he said, in the midst of my busyness, in the midst of all these people pursuing me for leadership, I'm going to have to build myself a place that I can go outside of the camp, far away from the fray. I've got to get alone for a little bit, and I've got to commune with God. Because unless I do, I'm going to be confused. Can I tell you that, church? It's the same. If you don't commune with God, you will be confused. Unless you have regular face times with God, you will be fearful. But that's what Moses did. He realized, this is what I've got to do. I've got to build myself a tent. And we desperately need moments of encounter if we are going to finish everything that God has called us to do. So let me give you a couple points here. Number one, you got to build yourself a tent. You got to build yourself a tent. I got one at my house. It's my home gym. All right. In my tent, we do squats. All right. In my tent, we do bench presses. Now, I haven't been doing them recently, and you can probably tell that, but we're going to get back on it in Jesus' name. We're repenting right now. Thank you, Father. But that was my intention, because there's got to be a place that you go to meet with God. Moses established a tent for himself, and this is what we call a prayer closet. Now, remember, I had you emphasize this. It was not just a tent, it was the tent. You know what that means? That people knew about Moses's tent. It was something that was private, but it was not kept a secret. The people who live with you in your house should know that you've got a designated place where you go to meet with God. And when they see Dad on his way with coffee and the Bible in the morning, he's just going to have some tent time. You see what I'm saying? It's personal, but it's not private. It's not a secret. Everybody knew this was a man who was a friend of God. People should know that you've got a spot, that you've got a schedule, that you've got an immovable date with God. Your tent is your spot. It is the place that you meet with God. My question to you, church, is, do you have a tent? Here's how you build one. Designate a specific place that you will go to meet with God. Designate a specific place that you will go to meet with God. Now, here's what's interesting. If you look at the Hebrew, the tent of meeting translated means this, the tent of the appointed time. All right, so it was not just about a location. It was also about a particular time. All right, so write this down. Point two, set a time for the tent. We must develop regular rhythms of encounter with God as kingdom leaders. It's got to go on our schedule, and it's got to stay fixed. If you put it on your Google calendar and you say, every single morning, I will meet with God at 6 a.m., right? Or 6:30 or 7, or every single evening, I will meet with God before I go to bed at 9 p.m., whatever it is. Here's what I can tell you about building a tent and setting a time for a tent. Oftentimes, what happens for me is that when I arrive there, the Holy Spirit's beat me there. In the same way I have an expectation for encounter, I believe that because of God's desire, which is greater than ours to encounter us, he also has an expectation for an encounter. And he shows up. I can't tell you how many times I've come into that place. I've got a little armchair in there. And as soon as I sit down, before I open the Bible or even begin to pray, tears well up in my eyes because I sense the presence of God in that place. And I can say like Jacob, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. And if you're wrestling right now with being able to have access to God and you're like, I pray and I don't feel anything. Like, set a regular time to meet with him. And I can guarantee you that it will not take long before you break through what you sense is a barricade in the spirit. I can tell you that. Don't just do it once and give up and say, oh, well, I guess God doesn't love me. Don't do that. Don't do that. Have a tenacity about you, all right? Don't retire. It's a reword, but don't do that one. Refire. Refire. Say, no, I'm going to get hold of God. I ain't going to let you go till you bless me. What happened to that spirit? What happened to that energy? That's the type of people we are here at Legacy. It don't matter what it costs. We're going to see you. We're going to talk to you like a man talks to his friend. It doesn't matter what it looks like. Doesn't matter how long it is. Doesn't matter if it gets hot in here. I'm hot right now. Shouldn't have wore this sweater. But we will see you. You with me? I used to pray this all the time. God, step out of eternity into time. I want to see you. And I've had some encounters, y'all. I'm telling you, I've had some encounters with the Lord that I couldn't even tell people about for a while. I was afraid to tell people because I thought that they would think that I was some kind of an alien. But if you want it, I'm telling you right now, he will give it to you. He will. So set a time for a tent, for the tent. Here's how you do that. You schedule an immovable time to meet with God every single day. Number one, build yourself a tent. Number two, set a time for the tent. Now I got two more points and I'm gonna go quick. So Moses had a team. He had a staff, if you will. He had a pastoral team. He had a lot of leaders. He had a lot of coworkers, colleagues. He had people who were under him in business, whatever, however you want to apply it to your situation. He had people he was responsible for. He had a following. He had a number of family members that would watch him as he would go into his tent. And you know what they would do? They would follow him whenever they had questions or they needed help making judgments. I want you to recognize something here, and that is this. People seek people who seek the Lord. I'll say it another way. People seek leaders that seek the Lord. If you want to be a leader, you first got to be a follower. You've got to be so passionate about following Jesus and trust him to lead you into a place of leadership so that when you actually turn around to talk to the people who are following you, you have something to share with them. The only thing we've got good is what we've received for free from Jesus anyway. If you spend a lot of time in the presence, you will become a trusted voice in other people's lives. I can promise you that because they will know that what you have to say has been tempered by the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. Those are the people I want speaking into my life, the people that I know pray. How about you? I don't want anybody prophesying over me that don't pray. Nah, I'm good. No thanks. I'm all right. I want a friend of God to pray and prophesy over me because I know what you've got to say has been tempered by the Holy Spirit. If we are going to be kingdom leaders, we've got to get in the tent. You know why? Because the presence of God is a qualifier for leadership in the kingdom. You know why the presence of God is a qualifier? Because the presence of God is a purifier. And the more time you spend in the presence, the less time you spend pursuing things that God never told you to go after. It's true. Selfish ambition melts away like wax before the Lord. As you sit before the flame of God, it's impossible to be selfishly ambitious. You don't have enough strength in that place. You have to receive what he has. That's it. I want what you want. What do you want me to want? You ever been there before? Come on. That's what we need to do. The more time you spend in the tent, the more qualified you are to be a spiritual leader. A spiritual leader without a prayer life, it's an oxymoron. It doesn't work. You ever seen a fish survive out of water? not long. And that's how we are as believers when we deprive ourselves of the presence of God in prayer. We don't thrive, not long. You might be able to, you know, fool a few folks for a few days, but they're going to start to recognize, bro, you better get back in your natural habitat or you're going to die. Yeah. For a new creation, glory is your natural habitat. Christ in me, the hope of, do you know that you have hardwired hope in your heart to see God face to face? It's an eternal hunger that you have and you will always have until the day that you meet him. The hope of glory. As a youth pastor, kids would ask to meet with me and they'd say, since I got saved, my life sucks. And I was like, it'd be like that, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, you thought Jesus was going to keep you from inconvenience. Did you read the Bible? Because everybody who wrote the New Testament got martyred. But anyways... that's a different sermon. Here's why you feel like your life sucks. How's your prayer life? Oh, I don't pray. Oh, okay. So you don't pray and you're trying to figure out why your life ain't working. Whenever your natural habitat as a new creation is glory, so you're like a fish trying to survive out of water. It ain't gonna work, bro. You're gonna hate your life. Get back in the water. Get to the tent. This is where you thrive. When you deprive your soul of the opportunity to take its delight in its creator, of course you're going to be shriveled up on the inside and be empty. You with me, church? So when you look at verse 8, I had you guys repeat this on purpose. Whenever Moses would go out to the tent, all the people would, they'd rise up. You may not realize this, but your devotion affects your disciples. Your devotion affects your disciples. If you rarely spend time with God, why would you expect him to trust you to lead his people? God doesn't give great disciples to poorly disciplined, devotion-lacking, spiritually puny leaders. You cannot take people where you have not gone. I think there's a reason why, and I mean, we go through seasons, but there's a reason why the worship ceiling in our church is where it is. And that's because we have a worship team of people who are presence pioneers. They've gone further than we can go in 18 minutes on a Sunday. They've gone further in devotion than we can go in 40 minutes on a First Friday prayer or an hour and a half in First Friday prayer. Like, that's one of the things that we are able to bless East Nashville with, is that we are a presence people. If you're looking for God, he's here. That's why we painted it on the bridge. I can't give you my secret history with God. I can't give that to you. I can't impart that to you. I can pray for you, but I cannot give you my secret history with God. What I can give you is the benefits of my secret history with God. And that's the only thing you can give away as well. You'll never reproduce what you say. You'll only reproduce who you are. So you can tell your kids all day, we are a family that cares about the Word of God. But if they never see you read the Bible, they won't be passionate about the Word. We are a family, guys. We pray. But if the only time you pray is before dinner, they won't pray ever. It's true. A lot of times I've noticed as a leader, what I do in excess, my followers, so to speak, my family, my kids, they'll do in moderation. And when it comes to sin, whatever I do in moderation, they'll do to excess. You have to know that. Is that, man, I want to create an updraft in my house. How about you guys? I want to create an updraft in my legacy. How about you guys? And this is why I want to give you my third point here, which is this. Your impact is connected to your intimacy. Your impact is connected to your intimacy. Low intimacy equals low impact. And I'm not talking about present earthly impact. I'm talking about eternal impact. You don't have eternal impact without big intimacy. Big intimacy equals big impact. I can guarantee you we are going to get to heaven. And when we get there, the people that we're going to see recognized, acknowledged, and wearing the biggest crowns, if you will probably be people that we had never even heard of. Oh, I didn't realize it. But it's the intimacy that sets us up for impact. I had you guys repeat this. Whenever Moses would go in, all the people would. One more time. Yeah. I want you to notice here that whenever Moses went in, the people would rise up. Now, I don't know if we're still saying this or not, but whenever you have a really good church service, like this one, I know it's longer than we intended to go today, but when you have a really good church, it's reseason. When you have a really good church service and somebody says, "How was church?" And you say, "We went in." Do y'all still say that? Is that? Yeah. You're like, "How was work?" Sheep. We went in. Do we still say that? Is that still relevant? "Oh, I went in today. Oh, I went in. I went all the way in." Yeah. Well, did you know that to the extent that you are willing to go in is to the extent that I believe that the people who are following you are able to rise up? Your willingness to go in will affect your disciples' ability to rise up. Whenever you go in, your community rises up. I can tell you this, if you are a leader, and all of you are because you're on the launch team, people are watching you worship. They are watching how you enter in, and people don't trust a leader that doesn't worship. If you won't seek God for you, why would I think that you would seek God for me? Having moments with God is how you become anointed by God. And this is why I don't ask people to pray for me that I don't see worship in church. And mostly I ask women to pray for me, because if you ever get on an anointed woman of God's prayer list, you will never get off. Men are so different. Like, you see a guy at church and like they give the Lord like a little coffee thing, like a... Work 8 hours a day, 5 minutes into worship, sit down. Come on, men of God. I mean it. Come on, men of God. We should be leading our families in worship. We should be leading our families in praise and prayer and in the Word of God. We should be showing them what it looks like to love Jesus. We're not outsourcing that to our wives. I'm not going to get any amens over here. I understand it. We're not outsourcing that to our wives. We are responsible to be the leaders of our household. Where else better to lead than in the place of the Spirit, in prayer and in praise and in worship? Son, you don't know what it looks like to love God? Let me show you. Let me let you know what it looks like. Because your impact is connected to your intimacy. Every time I go out and preach somewhere, if they got some praying church mamas around, I ask, get out your prayer list. I already know you got one. Don't front. It's in your Bible on the third page. Open it up. Write my name down. It's spelled L-Y-L-E. Because I know if I ever get on a praying church mama's prayer list, I ain't ever going to come off of it. It'll be a decade later, and I'll get a voicemail at 4 a.m. in the morning. I know. I already know. The women of God in here that pray, yeah, go ahead. Put me on your prayer list. I want you to pray for me. Be the craziest thing too. You get a call 9 p.m. Lord says, "Where you at?" Not where you're supposed to be, I know that. Yeah. Some of you grew up with some praying church mamas like me as well. All right, let me give you point four and I'm done. Your intimacy determines your legacy. Your intimacy is connected to your impact, but it's more than that. Your intimacy is connected to your legacy. It determines your legacy. I read that last part of verse 11 on purpose because I wanted you to notice that Joshua, the son of Nun, the assistant, right? He stayed in the tent after Moses left. And if you're going to be a kingdom leader, before you can bring any son or daughter into your ministry, you must first bring them into your intimacy. Because that's where the birthing happens. That's where the sonship and the daughtership of being a spiritual leader takes place first. It's not about giving them a platform. It's about getting in a closet somewhere and letting them listen to you pray. That's more important. And that's what Moses understood. And he may have not realized at the time because it was just his assistant, but that his secret history with God was instructing Joshua on how to build a secret history with God. Even though he can't give it away, he can give away the benefits. And even though Joshua may have been much younger by decades, he was able to hop, skip, and jump ahead as a future leader by watching how Moses had built a secret history with God and navigated the place of his presence in the way that he did. I was taking my son to school a few years back now. He was He was a first, you know, so he got to go to school first, and he was probably 4 or 5 years old. And on the way to school every day, I decided that I was going to turn our SUV into a tent. And I said, you know, I'll have my tent time in the morning. I do a little devotional time. But whenever we go to school, he's going to be stuck, just strapped in. Like, he can't even get out of the tent if he wants to. Like, you're going to be in the tent, buddy. And I would ask him, what do you want to listen to? And he would usually say, Kids Bop. I'd be like, nope, Kids Bop ain't coming into the tent. Listen to Kids Bop on the way to jujitsu. Get pumped up, you know. But this is time for worship. And, you know, he would say, well, I want to listen to Uncle, you know, so-and-so, maybe a worship leader friend. I want to listen to Auntie so-and-so, you know, somebody we have here or has come to visit. And okay, well, let's do that. And so we would worship, and I would turn it up, and I would just worship. I didn't even give him an opportunity to veto the tent time. I just worship. And I would lift a hand up in the air, and I'd say, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the cross. We love you, Jesus. You know, not every day did I feel anything. Some days it was just like, did it out of routine. But then there were certain days, man, I was like, man, the Lord is here. This is awesome. Praise God. This is amazing. And I'd check the rearview mirror, and he'd be like, you know, I just, I'm thinking like, he's got to be feeling this, you know? I'm going to look back. He's going to be slaying the spirit. You know? I'll just look back. He's eating boogers. I'm like, wow. All right. Well, we're really getting somewhere. And we'd pull into the parking lot, and I'd say, all right, son, Lord's Prayer. You know, his little voice, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will. Oh, he had the whole thing too, you know. And lead us not into temptation. And we said, but deliver us from the devil. That's right. Stomp on the devil. Yeah, that was like his favorite part, you know. The kingdom, the power, the glory. Amen. Amen. All right, amen. Hit me with the Jesus prayer. Lord Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me. Amen. Amen. I like that. I'm going to hit him with the Nicene Creed. We never got there. We never got that one. We tried, and it was hard, but we never got there. And, you know, I'll never forget. It's like right before he's getting ready to jump out, he goes, Daddy. I said, yeah, son. He goes, I can pray in tongues. I don't know why I said that. So I was like, no, you can't. I'm like, I ain't never heard this man pray in tongues ever. And right away, the Lord was like, he said he can pray in tongues. Let him pray in tongues. I said, okay, man, let her rip. And I don't know if they were real or I don't know, man. Shatta, 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 shatta. And he was smiling the whole time. I'm like, bro, you're kind of freaking me out a little bit, to be honest with you. This is crazy, man. And I was like, all right, yeah. Don't do that at school, all right? Whatever, like, you go to a Presbyterian school. All right, this was like before we started academy. I'm like, you're going to scare everybody with them eyes. Shatta, shatta. I'm like, dude, bro, just don't, whatever you do, don't do that. All right, don't do that in chapel, all right? It's crazy, bro. And, you know, he got out and I shut the door and I was like, you know, I kind of shook my head, like I kind of laughed a little bit. And man, right away, the Holy Spirit broke through the noise. And he was like, you don't discount the time that he gets to spend with you in the tent because you don't realize, you don't know. You don't know what I'm doing. You don't know what I'm doing in the Spirit. When you bring him into your intimacy, you don't know the impartation that's taking place in there. It took you until you were a teenager to be able to do some of the things that he's going to be able to do at 5 and 6 years old because of the secret history that you're able to share with him. Don't you discount him speaking in tongues. You let him speak in tongues. If he wants to speak in tongues, you let him rip it off. Just go for it. And I remember driving out of the parking lot in tears, realizing that what God was revealing to me is that my intimacy is going to determine my legacy. And I'm responsible for leaving behind more than money. I'm responsible for leaving more behind than just possessions or belongings or houses or property. The best thing that I can leave my family line, the best thing that I can leave a legacy in is in my intimacy. my intimacy with God, that somewhere I'll never know him, won't see him born, but when I get there, someday I'm going to get the opportunity to meet, if the Lord tarries, my great, 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 great grandson, and he'd be like, hey, thank you, because great, 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 great grandfather, Isaiah, used to listen to you pray in the SUV when you wouldn't let him listen to Kids Bop. And I just wanted to say, shatta, shatta, I don't know. Come on, let's stand up and pray. Lord, we say thank you today for all that you've done in this place. We say thank you for the privilege of knowing you and trusting you. Thank you so much for salvation and for the cross. Thank you for intimacy and the access that we have to the tent. May all of us be challenged to build ourselves a tent, to set a time for the tent, and to understand that our impact is connected to our intimacy, and finally, that our legacy will be determined by our intimacy. We're so grateful for it. We love you today in Jesus'
name. Tuning into the Legacy Nashville podcast. If you'd like to support the ministry, you can do so at legacynashville.org/give. If you're listening on iTunes, log into the store and give us a good rating and review. This helps our podcast reach new people with the good news of Jesus Christ. Until next week, love God, love people, and go change the world.